We're going to go back to Genesis this morning for a while. Genesis 6. Well, let's go to Genesis 3. I remember the first time we studied Genesis, this early chapters of Genesis. And somebody, I can't remember who it was now, somebody said, well, what happened when in the Garden of Eden have to do with me? And I think my response was, if your grandfather died at birth, where would you have been? Or something like that. It's hard for us to believe that the fall of man affected us.
Yeah.
But it's genetically.
I remember that was that issue of being born into sin. That was a tough one.
It's even more, worse than born into sin. It's born into self-seeking, which is sin, I guess. It's the same thing. All right. Let's just look one more time at the serpent's subtlety. And you, unless you believe in... Wait a minute, I didn't turn this on. I don't think.
Let me check to see.
Here it's on.
It's been running on. For some reason, I can't get it to run off of.
It's on battery power, but now it'll be okay.
Unless you believe in snakes that talk and snakes that eat dust, you have to see that the snake is a metaphor for your mind. Always has been, always will be. After the fall. So anyway, now the serpent, Genesis 3, verse 1. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of it, of the fruit of it. We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, God never said anything about touching it. Spiritually, if you touch something, you have dominion over it, if you lay your hands on it. And so, this was really important in the lie that she said that neither shall you touch it. You understand that? Otherwise, it was this is no-no thing in the midst of the garden. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. It's hard for us to conceive what would have happened had Adam and Eve, or Eve in this case, not failed the test. And it was really the man's fault, because the man is the one that was told to name the names. And so when he named the names, then he could see the possibility of separation. And he didn't want separation. He didn't want to live by faith alone. So whatever happened, the woman said, "You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it." And all hell broke loose. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" Who told you you needed more than you have? Who told you whatever? It's hard, again, for us to see or even imagine or transpose ourselves back into a place of innocency. But that's what the entire Bible is about. It is about you returning to innocence, with blind dependent on God alone. Well, that's enough of that. Let's go to Genesis 6. Everybody understand the fall? I mean, this is the critical issue.
I'm just looking at the this fruit that they ate. Probably was, I don't know, it wasn't any special chemical compound, but it was the disobedience was the factor, it seems. God had told them, he could have told them something else, you know, don't do this or don't do that. But the idea that that's what they then did was the issue.
Well, but the eating of it is important because... And the way we're constructed, that's why the scripture in Matthew 18 is so critical. Except you be converted and become as that little child, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. And so there's something about eating that it becomes part of you. And so I think it had to be something about eating something. Because when you eat it, then that becomes part of your being.
Well, like it was okay to touch it.
Right. Not only was it okay, it was should have touched it. Because then they would know that it wasn't this magical thing. They would have had... As the scriptures talk about dominion over it once you touch it or lay hands on it. So anyway, so let's go to Genesis 6. Everybody understand this must, from God's perspective, we must return to that innocency? Is it possible? It's only possible when you live by faith alone. Otherwise, you're... Well, let's look and see. It talks about Genesis 6. Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord God, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah saved us because he found grace in the sight of the Lord. Or in the eyes of the Lord. Do I understand how, had Noah not found grace in God's eyes, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
All right, now let's go to Genesis 8. The flood is over. They've left the ark. The first thing Noah did when he left the ark, Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor of the Lord, and excuse me, a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake or because of man. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing, or everything living as I have done. The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Now, the evil from our youth is everything we're taught. What's the first thing that happens after you? The first thing is when the innocency is over and the terrible twos start, then those innocent little children become con artists, and they're better at conning than even the most criminal that you can imagine at conning people out of their money, because you can't help but pay attention to them. Just think when the child figures out that what he does affects his mother mostly at first, then my God, just look at this. Look at what I can do. He doesn't say that in his mind, but he becomes the con artist automatically. Now, no one would believe these innocent little children that you have are con artists, would you? Or do you? You believe it? Gary?
Oh, yeah. I've experienced it a lot.
Yeah.
You had five? Neil had five?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to now.
I think what one of the aspects we just said, it's like, it's not like they know what they're doing. It's just
the nature. It works. The nature of the beast.
It's nature. Yeah. I do this. I smile real big. I get what I want. I cry. I get what I want. You know. So that's what you do. And
the adult males have been trying it ever since.
Sometimes it works.
All right, I was going to say something that I shouldn't have said, but I stopped myself. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 17. No, let's not go there. Let's go to Isaiah first. Isaiah 30. Verse 1. Anybody there?
No. Still writing notes.
Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering.
Sorry, I wrote down 32. What verse, what chapter are we in?
Isaiah 30, verse 1.
Okay.
Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Now, this is what we all do. To go down into Egypt simply means that we leave faith.
You know, I was thinking earlier when you're talking about faith. When you're talking about innocence, you can almost put innocence in the place of faith every time, and then it works. It's
right, because that's what faith is. Faith is returning to innocency.
Yeah, where you trust.
Right. But, you know, for me, I did it in I went down to Egypt, but I really didn't believe I was going down to Egypt, because I was doing something that was, I thought was good for God. I was doing God a favor. But to think of the number of times we return to Egypt without asking that his mouth, their legion, and we justify it. All right.
Let me ask them. Why would he say, and to not ask at my mouth? Why not at my request or seek my permission?
Well, you haven't sought his guidance, you've just done it.
But at his mouth?
Yeah, you've become his mouth.
Oh.
You justify it. The one thing that scripture in Luke, it's Luke 16, but it's so critical because we all do it. It says, you are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. And how we justify. It's what Adam and Eve did. Eve first, or Adam first, the woman did it. Then the serpent did it. But we always justify ourselves rather than confessing our own sin. All right, let's go to Isaiah 31. Well, it's the same thing. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay or rely on horses. Now, horses just is a symbol for any kind of thing. And trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. The Egyptians are men, and not God. Their horses flesh, and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is shall fall down, and they shall fail, all fail, and they all shall fail together. Again, what we're concentrating on here is how often we return to the curse for our sustenance instead of faith. Amen?
Return to the curse for our sustenance.
Return to this thing. And this thing is cursed above all animals of the field, above all other living things. Your mind is cursed above all of them. All right, let's go now to Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the, in verse 7, start in verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Now, again, these are, in Hebrew, it's emphasized a great deal more. It's blessed is the man that trusteth only in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. And the hope that the scriptures, every time the word hope is used, it's about the resurrection. Everybody understand that? Never again leaning on your own arm of understanding, but blessed is the man whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Then it gives you the opposite. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, when it says the heart, he's talking about, it's not, your heart doesn't think. The heart isn't deceitful. But what is the heart when he's talking about it? He's talking about your mind. Your mind is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? You better know it. All right. Let's look at some better news. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. And this is where we exchange gods. Start in verse 16. Verse 16 of Ezekiel 36. Everybody there? Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them, for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for the idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, And they were dispersed through the countries, according to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land, or his land. But I had pity for mine own, for my holy name's sake. Let me start over here in verse 21. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and will gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, but you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase of the field, and you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your iniquity or your evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I do this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquity, I will cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, etc., etc. Now, we think that's good news. That's what he did on Pentecost. But what we did, the same thing that the disciples did after Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on them, and then they said, "We're going to use this to go back to our old ways as fishermen." So we don't want to do that. Somewhere, somehow, we have to trust every second to this mystery of God. Nothing coming from in and of ourselves. Nothing. That's the only way you can exchange gods. You can no longer lean on your own arm of understanding. You can no longer put the name of God on the works that you created and done or doing. Because he alone is revealed only from faith to faith. Amen?
Amen.
No, we're about a third of the way through on exchange of jobs.
On 33, where it says, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded. What does the wastes shall be builded mean?
Well, the places that were not fertile shall now be fertile. The places that were just considered wasteland are now fertile.
I see. Okay.
And That's not talking about a physical being over in land of Israel. It's talking about the New Jerusalem. The mother of us all. That's what born again means, being born from above, born from the first estate. Man cannot enter that kingdom. It's blocked forever for man. That's why you must, funny, the only way you can live is if you die. And he lives. All right, that's day two on exchanging gods. You all understand what exchanging God? We got to get rid of this thing. This thing is the evil one from the beginning. Well, since the fall, we must accept you, be converted, and become as that little child. No eyes into the kingdom of God. And the thing that you're becoming as is innocent. How long ere you return to innocency? Right? You have that was a cop. That was a wait a minute kind of amen.
I'm tired. That's all.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Take it, big guy.